Laudator Jesus Christus. This is Vatican Radio.
From the English newsroom, I'm Emma McCarthy. Feminism and the Catholic Church is the title of a conference which was held here in Rome yesterday. The conference was looking at the history of the women's rights movement in both Europe and the United States. One of the key speakers was the noted lawyer and university lecturer, Mary Ann Blendon, president of the Vatican's Academy of Social Sciences. She told us that while there is much to be done at an institutional level to implement church teaching on the equality of women, in the broader Catholic context, women take much more of a lead than their male counterparts.
When you speak of women in the church, I think one has to distinguish between the narrow definition of church, the church as an institution, and the big definition of church, ecclesia, a people called together. And certainly, in the church as expansively understood, we have women executives running the second biggest healthcare system in the world, the Catholic healthcare system. We have women executives running the second biggest educational system in the world. There are 350,000 Catholic charitable educational healthcare systems all over this planet, and most of them are run by women. So I would almost say there is a problem that hasn't been discussed enough, that in the church, the role of men is less than it should be, which encourages people to think that religion is only for women and that churchly activities are somehow unmanly. And that is a very serious problem. Not only does it deprive young people of role models, but it goes back to Machiavelli, who said, Christianity is weak, Christianity is effeminate. And that's a theme in political philosophy that Pope Benedict, in his World Day of Peace message, is decisively repudiating. Of course, there's always more to be done. And it's interesting that whenever people asked John Paul II what he meant by feminine genius, he always said, well, that's for women themselves to discover and explain. In other words, he encouraged women to seek the perfection of their nature in all the diversity of all the women in the world. And in preparing my remarks, I went back to what he said in Vita Consecrata. He urged women to seek to fulfill the perfection of their nature, and he urged men, especially men in the church, to welcome that gift of women. So we're waiting for those words to penetrate into the capillaries of the church. And all of us know some local churches where those words have been taken to heart, and I think especially as we get more and more priests who are inspired by the recent popes and are comfortable with women, that we are gradually seeing the leaven in the social loaf.
Could I add just a couple of thoughts? I think one has to reflect on how change occurs in institutions. And I believe that what we're seeing now in the Catholic Church is a double process where the right things have been said at the highest level. John Paul II himself used the word decision-making processes and urged, this is an exact quote from Vita Consecrata, urged men in the church to welcome women into leadership and decision-making positions at all levels of the church. So there is the right thing being said at the highest level. But there, I think where you're seeing the change take place is in the local churches. And there, I think I would say we already, I mean, from my own personal witness in the Archdiocese of Boston, women are in decision-making positions. The Board of Trustees of the seminary, one of the most important things we do in the church is train priests. The Board of Trustees of the seminary is at least a third women. I haven't counted because there are so many. So I have to say, as someone who was in the job market for the past 30 years in law firms and then in universities, that the church compares very favorably at the local level in welcoming women into decision-making positions, and with this difference that the church does not ask women to give up their family life. The church is not requiring everybody to be socialized into a unisex hominid. So that's one thing I wanted to say. If I could just, I don't want to go on and on, but I think I would like to say that if there is one point in my talk that I consider the most important point I would like to make, it is this, that unless the church begins to offer and show convincing models of partnership between men and women, it is going to have great difficulty giving intelligibility to the norm of the male priesthood, because we live in a culture where people have a rather simplistic idea of equality. They think it's everything the same. If the church wants to prove that it is right, that it has a better model, it has to show it. And I think you can already show it at the local level, and I certainly think we show it in our Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences, where we have many women members, and they are certainly in decision-making positions. But there's a long way to go.